You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And a very happy Wednesday to you, September 12th, 2018, one step closer to the start of the regular season of the NBA, and you are listening to the right podcast. If you call yourself a Sacramento Kings fan, welcome to Locked On Kings. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, we are your hub for Sacramento Kings offseason, preseason, training camp, regular season coverage. It's all right here for you on Locked On Kings. We become a daily podcast once again as soon as the regular season really gets going. Every Monday through Friday, you will be getting daily updates, sports talk, Kings talk, interviews, and my voice ringing through your ears. I apologize about that part. My name is Matt George, by the way. For those of you who are new, I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK. That is the flagship radio station of the Sacramento Kings here in the California capital. We have the privilege at KHDK of being the main affiliate, like I said, the flagship of the Kings, which means we carry all their broadcasts. I have the privilege of working with the G-Man, Gary Gerald, Jason Ross, and many more wonderful members of the Sacramento Kings radio broadcast team on a daily basis. I also work with Doug Christie and Grant Napier, who work as the TV play-by-play and color analysts for the Sacramento Kings. A lot of minds that work in this radio station that are deeply ingrained in Kings culture, as I know all of you are the great and dedicated Sacramento Kings fans, and I grew up a part of you, so I know firsthand. I didn't come over here from another area of the country. I was born in the Sacramento area. I grew up one of you, which is why I'm so pleased to be able to do this podcast and be able to branch out Kings conversation to anybody that is willing to take the time to listen. Special treat for you today, Aaron Brewski, former writer for NBC, used to cover the Sacramento Kings and fantasy basketball, then founded his own site, Hoopball. He is joining me here in a couple of minutes. Had a great long conversation with him. He's going to share a lot of his thoughts on the Kings, their offseason, their approach and entrance into next year. Also, I picked his brain about other topics around the NBA, non-Kings specific, so there's a little bit of that at the end. And then also, he's going to give you a great deal, a phenomenal offer happening right now in regards to Hoopball's amazing little cheat sheet. And, cheat sheet is an understatement. That makes it sound like it's just one piece of paper. This extensive report that Hoopball, the fantasy experts at Hoopball and Aaron Brewski put together to make sure you are as prepared as you possibly can be for the fantasy basketball season. That is all coming up for you here, and that great deal is going to be made available to you, a special little code that you can hear Aaron throw out at the end of the podcast as well. So don't waste any more time. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation that I had with Aaron Brewski from Hoopball. We are just around a month away from the tip-off of the 2018-2019 NBA season. We've made it through the rough month of August where nothing seems to happen in the NBA. We are now entering September, and as we trickle into early October with training camps wrapping up and everybody paying attention to preseason basketball, fantasy basketball becomes bigger and bigger. People start to pay attention more and more, getting their drafts ready. I have invited a guest on who's going to be able to tell you a little bit about how you can get yourself better prepared for fantasy basketball in a little bit, but he's also someone that is very deeply ingrained in the NBA and in NBA culture, has covered the NBA for many, many years, former NBA writer for NBC Sports, now the current founder of a fantastic site called Hoopball that I encourage everybody to check out. It is Aaron Brewski joining me here on Locked On Kings. Aaron, I hope you did a better job making it through the dry month of August and this offseason than I have.
Yeah, it's been a little rough out there. I think a lack of player movement might have kept things a little slow this year. That's just something I've noticed, that it seems like it's been pretty dead. But as it goes, that won't last very long. And, the Kings have slid underneath the radar, which is a little bit odd. Their thing is not being underneath the radar.
Fantastic. Well, I'm looking forward to diving in with that. We were actually really spoiled, if you think about it, last summer with all the drama that happened between Kyrie Irving and the Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James. We got a little speckles of that, little flares of it with LeBron going to the Los Angeles Lakers and everything. But all eyes here in Sacramento, as they always are, we're focused on the NBA draft. We would like to get to a point where the Kings aren't very interested in the draft lottery and NBA draft day. It seems like those are one of the most exciting days of the summer for the Kings and for us here in Sacramento every single year. But I'm curious from your standpoint, and I want to start there. I was okay with the Marvin Bagley selection. A lot of people here in Sacramento wanted the Kings to take Luka Doncic, were surprised that they didn't. Many very angry at the Kings organization for not taking Luka Doncic. What was your thought ultimately on the Marvin Bagley selection with the number two pick by the Kings?
Well, you know, I don't really have a horse in the race, so I don't get angry when the Kings do stuff. They might irritate me a little bit when there's a lot of craziness and there, it feels like there's a lot of stuff to explain to folks, and it breeds a little contempt online. And I think you are dealing with a fan base that's been through a lot, so they're going to probably be more vocal as things go south until things go north. The Bagley pick, I'm going to be real upfront with folks. I don't do college, you know, 24/7 like I do the NBA.
Right.
I do watch a lot of film. I saw the Bagley film, and I thought it was pretty straightforward what he brings to the table. He brings an offensive game that currently lacks polish. It's a little bit one or two dimensional, but you know, he wouldn't be the first player in the NBA to learn skills and get better. He's got a good foundation offensively to work from. Defensively and in the size department, these are two really big question marks for him. I don't think those are going to work out in his favor over the long haul in his career. So he's really going to have to make his bones on the offensive end. And, you know, he arrives at a team that's got six front court players, seven if you want to count Nemanja Bjelica, and it's going to be interesting to see how the Kings work him in and what kind of philosophy this team has. I think the big question mark that Kings fans had is you've got this glaring hole at small forward and a player, Luka Doncic, who can start to address the position, and he's phenomenal. I think that he's going to have a great NBA career. So it's a little bit of a tough offseason for the Kings. They lucked into the number two selection, and you know, the powers that be, they decided that Bagley was the guy.
Vlade and the Kings organization, they defended their choice of, or supported their choice of selecting Marvin Bagley by claiming that they wanted to make sure they weren't drafting someone that would ultimately be taking the ball out of De'Aaron Fox's hands. It's interesting how De'Aaron Fox last year was the number five overall pick and Marvin Bagley was the number two overall pick this year, but it's still De'Aaron Fox's team and everybody here, at least still in Sacramento, and for all extensive purposes, we're set to believe that the organization thinks that De'Aaron Fox is still the guy going forward, the best case scenario for a player on this roster currently to actually turn into a star that the Kings so desperately need. Your thoughts ultimately on that excuse, I suppose, or the support, or Vlade and the Kings organization making that decision to go with someone that could potentially fit well alongside Fox instead of a maybe better player that would ultimately take the ball out of his hands?
Yeah, it's tough because you have so many voices in the Kings front office that really do have a say in things. I think this was a group decision from top to bottom, I guess, for lack of a better term. You know, a lot of people had input on that choice. Then you factor in the offense that Dave Joerger runs, which is run through the bigs. It's not a traditional offense in the sense that it's not a lot of pick and roll. It's the slowest pace in the NBA.
Yep.
You know, Bogdan Bogdanovic, he has probably shown more than De'Aaron Fox. He's arguably the player that you want to have running the offense. And at the same time, you see Zach Randolph, Kosta Koufos, running a large percentage of plays out of the front court. So the idea that Fox could take that we're taking the ball out of De'Aaron Fox's hands. And by the way, I really liked what Fox showed last year. There were a lot of times it looked like the cards weren't in his favor and a lot of players would have folded. And he fought back and really showed a lot of toughness in key moments. And with that athleticism, especially if he can develop anything resembling a jump shot, mm-hmm. he's going to have that pedigree that demands this kind of a conversation. Do we want to take the ball out of his hands and or not. That said, I think in today's NBA, you see teams, I'll throw it out there like everybody else does, the Warriors, you know, who run four or five ball handlers out there at a time and do a read and react offense. The idea that the Kings couldn't build towards something like that by having multiple ball handlers who have a good idea of what they want to do with the ball on the floor, I don't buy that. I think that simply put, they liked Bagley better. Different factions in the front office had different levels of like and dislike for both Bagley and Doncic, and ultimately that choice was made to take Marvin Bagley. So the explanations coming out of the front office, you know, they're a little bit wishy-washy, or you know, you might get some mixed signals, because I think there were some people that actually wanted Luka Doncic.
Aaron, you brought up pace of play, and I'm so glad you did, because that, to me, is what this next season is all about. The fact that the Kings, with as young of a roster as they had, and that the fact that they drafted a point guard whose biggest asset was his speed and his ability to get to the basket and move up and down the floor, the fact that the Kings were last, or in the bottom of the league in pace last season, in my opinion, was an absolute disaster. I'm going to ask you a little bit more about Coach Dave Yeager specifically in his system, but everything for this next season, if the Kings, in my opinion, are going to be successful, or at least going to take the next step forward, it has to do with pace of play and running in transition. Do you feel the same way?
You know, I think Dave Yeager's offense is fine for personnel that he might have had somewhere in, say, like Memphis, you know, where you have a guy like Marc Gasol who you want handling the ball up at the elbow or even up at the three-point line, spreading the floor, reading and reacting. That just simply didn't work for the Kings. You know, if Kostakoufos is out there who can give you a good solid 15 to 20 minutes per game, you don't want him handling the ball. You know, you're playing 4-on-5 out there. Zach Randolph got carte blanche for this team last year, and there were times when offensively he was getting it done, but more than not, he was not getting it done. Mm-hmm. And it was bogging down the offense, and that's before you get to the defensive side of the ball. And it was a really sort of uninspired offensive system that did not yield a lot of results, and it didn't really show these young players in the best light. A guy like Buddy Hield didn't get a lot of minutes. When he did, there were times where he looked awesome, and then there were times where he looked like he was out of sorts, mostly because the offense didn't have any tempo. Fox took him a good two-thirds of the season before he started getting comfortable, and probably the same for Bogdan Bogdanovic. That middle third of the season is when he really started taking off, and when you run that type of a system that's predicated on cuts, timing, sharing the ball, and not really letting any one particular player get into a rhythm and really not having an identity on offense, things can get ugly real quick. And I thought that was the story behind that, and it's really going to be the story of this season too. You know, you have a front office that by all reports and by folks that I talk with is on the ropes. You got a coach who is sort of tethered to that front office, and you've got a season in which there's no reason not to win because of the draft pick situation. So we're going to get a real quick indication if this team's ready to take a step forward, and the pace of play, the offense that they run, who they decide to put on the floor, who they decide to put the ball in their hands. That's going to be the biggest determinant of whether or not this team's successful. They're going to be very successful for those folks to stick around.
I'm a big fan of Dave Yeager. I completely agree with almost everything that you just said, though, how important really this season is, not just for the front office and its current regime and Vlade Divac, but also Dave Yeager as well. But I've always been a fan of Yeager's. I'm also a natural optimist. But I have used the word stubborn before to describe Yeager's rotations and his coaching style at times. How confident are you just knowing and covering the league and following Yeager and his career, at least his NBA career over the past few years, how confident are you that he can adapt his systems to the strengths of his players in regards to transition offense, De'Aaron Fox, Willie Cauley-Stein?
You know, Dave Yeager, he's a real riddle because he does so much well. I mean, you look at his ATOs after the timeouts, and they so often develop a good shot, and he seems to have a true understanding of the game at a very high level. And then you look at some of the playing time decisions. You know, 2 years prior, Matt Barnes was maybe the worst player in the NBA, and he kept getting 25 minutes per game and throwing the ball around the yard. Zach Randolph last year, by the numbers, was one of the worst players in the NBA. He got a primary role on the team. I think there's a style with Dave Yeager where he defers to the veterans in order to keep the locker room intact. That's tough because if the veterans aren't getting it done, eventually the results will catch up and speak for themselves. System-wise, you know, in Memphis, before he got to Sacramento, this was the issue with him, was overplaying the veterans, not giving the young guys a chance. And what we've seen is, again, Zach Randolph, Kostakoufos, even to some degree, Willie Cauley-Stein, you know, there's been times he's been good, times he hasn't been good. And you've seen a guy like Scalabissier sort of bear the brunt of not necessarily his follies, but just the idea that he's not ready while other guys are out there not getting back on defense, not doing what they need to be doing. So some question marks. Is a guy like Scalabissier even going to be in the rotation to start the year? Are you going to play Zach Randolph? Are you going to play Kostas Koufos? My gut would tell me that those guys do play early on in the year. That means your young guys are sitting. Harry Giles sitting there burning a hole in the Kings' pocket. He's very exciting, you know, to think about what his progression could be like in the league. He does a little bit of everything, has some athleticism, still looks a little bit not gimpy, but like maybe he's not ready to fully explode yet, but has a little bit of a shooting stroke, has some nice toughness on defense. So how do you get these guys in the game is a big question. And then you sign Nemanja Bjelica, whose position is truly at power forward. He can't really be a solution at small forward. So you got a lot of bigs that you got to find minutes for. And if we had to guess, the guys that are not really going to be with the franchise in future years, they're going to get the minutes to begin.
I got to tell you, Aaron, I hope your gut is wrong. I want as few minutes as possible for Zach Randolph. As much as I appreciate Zach Randolph, the human being, the player, and the mentor, I think he could be great in practice and in training camp for a young Marvin Bagley or even a young Harry Giles. However, in terms of game time, I think he goes in the exact opposite direction from where I would like the Kings to go and where I think the Kings need to go if they want to have any hope at a somewhat remotely successful season this year. But one guy that I've always been extremely high on, and you saw noticeable improvement from the start of last season to the end of it, was Buddy Hield, especially on the defensive end. Offensively, he shot himself out of the games as a starter a lot, ended up coming off the bench for the majority of the year, and those adjustments seemed to work great for him. I would like to see him in a starting capacity pretty much full time from here on out at that two guard spot, assuming Bogdan Bogdanovic moves to the three. What are your thoughts overall on Buddy Hield, and what do you think his ceiling is here in Sacramento?
Buddy is one of these players where I think he is actually one of the best shooters in the NBA with his feet set. Like, put him in a shooting contest with Steph, Clay. He might not beat those guys more than they beat him, but he is that good. The ball barely hits the net when he has his feet set. You know, the stuff that he doesn't do well, the dribbling, the shots at the rim, defensively, you can't argue with the way he plays basketball. He's just foaming at the mouth out there. He might not know where to stand and he might not know where to go a lot of the time, but you know, there's a role for him on this team. And he has that upside that he's the kind of player you want to invest in if you're the Kings and just see exactly how high he can climb. He's going to have to get minutes this year. And it's again, the same problem in the front court. You have the same problem in the back court. You know, Fox and Bogdanovic are going to demand 30 minutes per game. You know, you added Yogi Ferrell, Frank Mason. These guys, one of the two's probably got to play. Who knows if they're going to dust off Iman Shumpert and give him minutes. Huh. Hield, he's going to probably get stuck in the minute crunch, and that's going to be pretty painful to watch because when you talk about shooting in the NBA, when you have a guy who could legitimately shoot, you know, 45% from three, you know, 85, 90% from the free throw line and 45% from the field. That's really, really rare. It sets up everybody else well in the offense. And if he can just sort of smooth out those rough edges with the finishing and the decision-making and get 30 minutes per game, I think that's good for the Kings.
ESPN ranked the Kings 29th out of 30th on their ESPN rankings, preseason rankings. Simply put, a lot of people are pegging the Kings to be at the bottom in the Western Conference, a very talented Western Conference that only got better. Now the Kings get to play LeBron James four times a year instead of just two with him being with the Lakers. Again, I am an optimist. I'm looking for good growth from the Sacramento Kings, especially against Eastern Conference opponents. And right out of the gate, they have a lot of matchups on the road against some of the weaker Eastern team. So I would not be surprised, I suppose, to see the Kings get off to a good start. They certainly are capable of doing it depending upon what players they play. But simply put, do you think the Kings are at that spot, 29th, worst in the NBA, and do you expect them to be at the bottom of the West?
You know, longtime Kings followers know that I have driven up to Reno and taken that over in recent years. There's always been these reasons why people have been putting the Kings down the list, and I am 1-1-1 on those bets. Wow. One win, one loss, one tie. Yeah. And I saw the number this year. I think it's, what, 26.5? And I thought to myself, wow, that's pretty low. There's talent on this team. If I knew that we were going to not see Zach Randolph play, if I knew that Kostakoupos was going to see a reduced role, and mind you, I think both those players could fit well on another team. It's nothing against them. But if the kids were getting minutes and there is a small forward solution, even if that solution is to play small, I would really hit that over hard. I think that's not a lot of wins. I think there's more experience on this team than you would think for a team that's rebuilding. And, Jaeger, I do think can be a plus in the coaching department, assuming that the rotations are in a good place. So, especially teams are going to probably, when they come into Sacramento or they play the Kings, are probably going to let down a little bit. Not a lot of wins. I would think that they could win more than that, but it's a tough West. There's not a lot of teams that could finish, lower than them. I think Phoenix is one of those teams. The Hawks are going to be real bad.
Right.
The list of teams that would finish beneath the Kings is quite small this year.
Aaron, I could talk to you about the Kings specifically all day long. We are a Kings-centric podcast here, but I wouldn't be using you to your full capacity if I didn't ask you about everything else going on in the NBA, as I know you follow all of it closely. I want to start with the Golden State Warriors and DeMarcus Cousins being there. In my opinion, probably the best move that he could have made personally. I think he sets himself up great to win a championship and then cash in next offseason, and he can take his time coming back from this injury. What do you think of Cousins joining Draymond Green and that juggernaut unit in the Bay Area?
Man, they are light years ahead. And I thought when Bob Myers was talking about how they were going to utilize him, it was music to my ears because they have all the leverage in this situation. They can tell DeMarcus Cousins to go kick rocks, and they want him on the block. And there's no room for him on the perimeter.
Yep.
He would just clog things up and make things bad. So we're going to get to see peak DeMarcus Cousins on the post, moving people around by simply turning and laying the ball in. And it's going to be great. And I don't know how anybody has a chance in the world of stopping them. You'd factor in the organization, aside from the leverage that they have, the quality of people they have from top to bottom that can really, he's not going to be able to go in there and do what he did in Sacramento or even do what he did in New Orleans. You know, he's got a heart that's massive, this guy, but he needs structure. He needs people to sell him on why he needs to listen, and they can do that in Golden State. I haven't got a chance to look at their odds this year, but I look at them as an investment this year.
LeBron James finally takes his talents to Southern California. We knew he had a house there. We knew his family was involved there, and he finally makes the decision to go and play for the Lake Show. So Magic Johnson and the Lakers hit a home run there, but then make some questionable moves surrounding him with guys like Lance Stephenson, Rajon Rondo, some older cats that I didn't necessarily expect that was on their radar. They were certainly interested in. Of course, LeBron James is there, so you initially or immediately have to consider them a contender. But what about his supporting cast? Do the Lakers have enough there to be a legitimate challenge for the Golden State Warriors?
I think the answer is a hard no there. They're better than a lot of teams that I think a lot of Cleveland teams that LeBron's taken to the finals. Some interesting young pieces there. You talk about the length of Lonzo at point, even Rajon Rondo as a backup, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Josh Hart. Those four guys in terms of perimeter defense, especially Josh Hart. This poor guy, he's probably better than almost, I think, we'll leave Lonzo out of the conversation, but Josh Hart is a really good basketball player that's going to get minutes, he's going to get a minutes crunch, but those four would be able to provide a compelling defense. Brandon Ingram, he's like 7'4" with his wingspan. Mm-hmm. They're really good, but they're too young, I think, to survive in a series, even with LeBron willing them to the finish line. And they got a huge hole at center. I mean, JaVale McGee can only play 10 minutes per game. Mo Wagner, great rookie, but he's not surviving. And Ivica Zubac basically got forgotten last year. LeBron doesn't really want to play center. Kyle Kuzma, he's not a center. I don't know how they do anything serious without making a move to acquire a center.
What about the Utah Jazz? Last year, just a flash in the pan. Are they a legitimate threat at the top of the Western Conference?
I think they did a smart thing, and I don't think they've got enough juice to really make any noise. Donovan Mitchell, I think, is a future MVP candidate. He is that good. He has that much explosion, that much ability shooting and taking the ball to the rim. And if you want to just throw in dunking, he can dunk too. But they kept that team together, I think, as a means of developing him, giving him the same exact people to work with. They had a great chemistry. Smoke and Joe Ingles, who I thought the Kings should have picked up a couple years ago, he has a great fit for that team. And it's really just been a good success story there. Great coach, Quinn Snyder. This isn't about this year. It's going to be about next year. And what can they do after Derek Favors, his $20 million falls off the books? And really, that's the amount of money that they're going to have to spend to go out there and get another second-tier talent.
I'm a huge fan of Donovan Mitchell. I'm excited when I saw that the Kings would be opening up their season at home against the Utah Jazz. I got a little giddy, even though certainly the Kings are not favored to win that matchup. But another one of my favorite players who's making a return this year. It was so tragic to see what happened to him at the beginning of last season, but I'm very anxious to see what he can be alongside Kyrie Irving in Boston. That is Gordon Hayward. Do you expect a slow, rusty return, or are the Boston Celtics really the clear-cut top of the Eastern Conference team?
They're going to be so good. They lack, Kyrie Irving is such an amazing offensive player. And if he was anything on defense, except, I guess in the finals, he does crank it up and he can be average. They don't have that one guy that I think generates a ton of shots for everybody else. So that might be the one knock I have on them, but they're just so strong. A guy like Jaylen Brown is going to get crunched for minutes, and he is the truth. He has all of the upside in the world. His athleticism puts him at a level where if he can bring together the shot and the dribbles, he's got everything. And he's probably their fourth or fifth best player right now. They're going to be fun to watch. A guy like Jason Tatum is going to be interesting to see how he bounces back after really getting carte blanche last year. But Hayward, I would expect him to step in and play some power forward. A little bit of small forward as well, probably see about 28 minutes per game, and just sort of fit in. And it's going to be a lot of, he will get a lot of guff for his contract and not being maybe the top two, three, or maybe he might be the fourth best player on that team when it's all said and done. So he'll catch some flack out there for that big contract. But, oh man, Brad Stevens is going to put those guys in the position to really run through the East.
Aaron, I got to commend you for your website, HoopBall. You and your staff do such a phenomenal job, not just covering specific teams, but NBA from multiple standpoints. Like I said, you could do team-specific. I could follow HoopBall Kings to get just Kings news and Kings-centric stories, or I could look up and get stories happening all the way on the East Coast that I had nothing or no idea about. That network continues to grow, but one area specifically that HoopBall really excels over many other major companies is with that the fantasy basketball element. And you have a fantasy basketball draft guide that is coming out here very, very shortly. Can you share a little bit about that draft guide and why people should check out and use HoopBall as a resource for their fantasy teams?
Well, I thank you for the kind words. I got the opportunity at NBC to start in fantasy basketball, and I've always found that the smartest basketball people that I've come across work in fantasy in some capacity because they study like crazy people about the 12th man on each roster. And so if you're looking to learn more about the NBA fantasy league or one way to do that, and then NBC let me cover the Kings. And I did that for Pro Basketball Talk. And I saw the power of both sides. And I thought when creating HoopBall, a site should have that well-rounded approach to everything. And so we're building out team coverage. And the guys over at HoopBall Kings, Jake Fitzgibbons, John Schifferle, Christian Villery, they all do a great job and are really dedicated to learning this craft and putting out a really quality product that, it's not the kind of clickbait stuff that you see out there, with journalism, the direction that it's headed in recent years. They're really trying to do everything by the book and earn their stripes, not try to get to the top too fast. On the fantasy side, I've been competing in high stakes fantasy leagues since I started for the most part. And, we're throwing some good money around. So I hope my wife doesn't listen to this podcast because, I don't want to get in trouble, but in the process, competing with the best of the best, I have to develop a list of players and really put a lot of thought into it. It's a nightly process for about 3-4 months. And at the end, we're projecting all, 500 players in the NBA using some proprietary algorithms, using the good old eye test, kind of going with some gut and some data mixing it all together. And, you know, the Brewski 150, has the guys that measure this, it's finished in the top, either at the top or second place every year I've done it. So we're really successful with our ranking. The draft guide got about 150,000 words on every player in the NBA. So if you're not even a fantasy fan and you just want to know who's on each team and get a good background on their injury histories, their performance histories, what to expect out of them this year, next year, down the road, it's got a little bit of something for everything. And we're going to give Locked On Kings listeners a $2 discount. So if you enter the coupon code Locked On Kings, you get $2 off. The draft guide's price right now is $13.99. It's going to go up to $15.99 this upcoming weekend. So if you're going to get it now so you get a discount.
What an absolute deal. I know I'm certainly going to be cashing in on that. My fantasy game needs some desperate help. I've been in the bottom of the league over the past 2 years, but maybe I associate that with the fact that I'm surrounded by a Sacramento Kings organization that hasn't been in the playoffs for over a decade. So I'm trying to work myself out of a rut as well. Aaron, thank you so much for taking the time here on Locked On Kings. Thank you for sharing your knowledge and for all the hard work that you and your staff put in to turn out great work. Like you said, you're not just racing to the top. You're making sure to put out and produce quality content that people care about, read, and build things up the right way. So I appreciate that. I will always follow and admire the work that HoopBall does. And let's connect again sometime in the midst of the season, and we'll see. Hopefully the Kings are doing better than we expect, and other teams are doing worse.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Matt.
Pleasure, as always, to speak to Mr. Brewski. A blessing to have him here on the Locked On Kings podcast. We'll definitely be having him back in the near future. For those who are still wanting to be involved, there is still time to enter yourselves in the sweepstakes to win a copy of NBA 2K19 that I am giving away to Locked On Kings listeners. The way that you get involved, and I've already had so many of you do this, is you have to be on Twitter, you have to be on social media, create a Twitter account if you don't already have one, and go to either the Matt George KHDK YouTube channel or Matt George KHDK Twitch channel and take a picture, a screenshot of yourself subscribing to that channel, and then tweet that to me. That immediately enters you in, and then I will be picking someone at random from that group that is entered to give a copy of NBA 2K19 to. I will announce the winner of that on this podcast on Friday, so there is still time, another 2 days for you to screenshot those photos and send that in. So please do that if you want a chance to win the game. The game is out, and I still haven't touched it. I still haven't played it. I'm starving myself for two reasons. One, I'm about to get married here in about a week and a half, so I don't want to start something and then put it down for 2 weeks and then come back to it. So I'm starving myself with NBA 2K, and I'm waiting till probably early October to pick up my official copy, and then once I do that, I'm going to start making doing some online simulation stuff that I'm going to bring onto this podcast and some Sacramento Kings general manager mode for anybody who's interested in that branch of sports video gaming and sports media. I'll be doing that as well on my YouTube and on my Twitch channels, but we will involve Locked On Kings in that entire procedure as well. So if you're interested in that, again, take a picture of or a screenshot of yourself subscribing to either the Matt George KHDK or Matt George KHDK Twitch page or YouTube channel, and then just tweet it to me at Matt George KHDK on Twitter. Still time for you to enter into that as well. Also, be sure, if you do not mind, to take a quick second to go onto iTunes and leave a quick review for this podcast. Let us know how we can improve. It helps us out tremendously, and I certainly would appreciate that. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your Wednesday and Thursday. I'll talk to you on Friday. I'll have a winner for you, plus another great interview coming. It's going to be enjoyable. You're going to not want to miss Friday's episode of Locked On Kings. I'll talk to you then. This has been the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.